Listen with me to God's word. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He who destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. That word is God's good news that was announced to you. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. The boys and I have a new favorite television show. I guess we could call it our favorite, Forged in Fire. Has anyone taken in that show on the History Channel? It's a group of blacksmiths, or those who craft things out of metal. Bladesmiths, they like to be known as, most of all. They make blades and other intricate weapons with their masterful art skills. And one of the favorite parts of the show for me is not only do they test how sharp the weapon is, but how good it is at attacking and causing damage. I'm kind of warped here, as you can see. And one of the ways they test the ability of their weapon is they have these dummies, not real dummies, but fake dummies that are filled with goo and other type stuff. And when they attack the dummies, what's inside comes out, right? Sometimes it can be a little disgusting, depending on what they pack the dummy with. What went into the goo is what comes out when the dummy is attacked. Well, isn't life that way sometimes? What goes inside is often what comes out. When we are under attack, when we find the world pressing against us or beating against us, it's not so much the circumstances at that time that determine how we're going to respond, but for me and you and all of us, so often what comes out is what already was inside. You know, as we celebrate today, Senior Recognition Sunday, someone mentioned, I think Leon shared with me earlier, that yes, yesterday we had the commencement exercises at Blue Mountain College. And the speaker noted this. He said, I'm grateful that you all call this ceremony a commencement instead of a graduation. Because those words mean very different things to us, right? Graduation, we think of something coming to an end. But a commencement is when we commence doing something, right? We began something anew. And so this time for Austin and for Rhonda, as you all commence your new journey in life and begin something new that God has created for you, I think there's a time for all of us to reflect on what we do to commence our day afresh every day in a way that will bring about God's glory. and in the words of our scripture, embrace this high calling to be holy in the image of the one who made us and saved us. You know, the speaker there yesterday at those commencement exercises was quite an accomplished gentleman. His name is Augustus Lionel Collins. He's a retired major general of the Mississippi National Guard, the adjutant general, the highest office in our state. Mr. Collins was the first African American ever chosen as a general in the state of Mississippi. He has many accolades, being appointed first by Governor Haley Barbour and moved on up through the ranks throughout his service to his country and his state. General Collins said this. He said, as you commence your life, as you go forward from here, there are four things that I think are essential for us to be a success, to sell ourselves in our career, in our lives, as we represent our company, our family, and ourselves. First, he said, I'm a simple man. He said, I grew up in Boonville, Mississippi, on a farm. And he said, I grew up and I gained an appreciation that has taken me throughout life. There's four things you need. First, you need to be where you're supposed to be. Secondly, you need to be there when you're supposed to be there. Thirdly, you need to do what you're supposed to do. And fourthly, do it to the best of your ability. He said, if you embody those four goals, you won't have to chase after success. No, instead, success will find you. Wow, what a goal. What a challenge for us professionally, academically, as students, athletes, as those who are striving to perform in the world for God's glory and for ourselves. Those are a high calling for success for one who has met the pinnacle of success in his career. And many of us can embody that. We can embrace that on a professional level or an academic level. But you know, it seems challenging to me. If we have a willingness to embrace such a model in what we do with our lives, then wouldn't we also find it just as challenging, just as inspiring for us to embrace our faith with that same passion? Our commitment to God as we do to our boss or to the world around us. And you know, it seems that's to be at the heart of what Peter is saying to us in our scripture today. Peter gives us a high challenge when he says this. He could have said the words of General Collins, who spoke yesterday at the commencement exercise, when Peter says this. In just the first few verses that I read, Peter gives us this. He says, be disciplined. Peter says, be obedient as obedient children. He goes on to say, do not be conformed to your former way of life, but be holy. Wow. Peter, that's tough stuff. I hear what you're saying, Peter. Peter, remember once again as we read this scripture from the words of Peter, he's speaking to people in exile. Remember what it means to be in exile? It means to be under attack, unwanted, living in persecution or trials. We all know something about that, don't we? At some point along our journey of life, whether it's in relationships at school, trying to fit in on our ball team, or find our place at work with a tough boss or a tough co-worker. We all know what it's like at some time to live in turmoil. And this is when Peter says it's most important to exude and to honor the life that God has called us to. In other words, remember the goo we talked about earlier? Peter's saying, to focus on what comes out, if we want that to be positive, life-giving, love, inspiring for others, then it has to be placed inside of us before we're attacked. Because once we're attacked, it's hard, isn't it, to control what's going to come out. You know, I had an experience just yesterday. I was driving home from Montgomery. I'd gone down for the baseball tournament that Noah was playing in for the Southern States Athletic Conference. And I was coming, I was a little tired. And I don't know, some of you know this about your pastor. I am a napper. I love my 10 to 15 minute siesta every day. I eat a good lunch, and then I'm going to slip off and get hid somewhere and take me a little power nap. Well, just yesterday, I was driving, got a little sleepy. I decided to take a little power nap. I pulled off the interstate into a gas station parking lot and got just into my 7.5 minutes of my 15 minute nap, and boom, 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 there were 5 hard knocks on my window. It was the manager of the service station. He said, "You can't stay here. You got to go." I tell you what, I don't like getting woken up from the middle of my power nap. But y'all, I didn't appreciate it too much. Didn't say anything. But I was going to go in and make a purchase. Didn't go in and spend any money with them. Kind of mad, eased on out. It was raining. There was a car coming. I was still mad, pulled out in front of that car. They told me I was number one as I made it into my lane. And I was on fire. Man, I wanted to stop. I almost lost my faith, y'all. And you know what's crazy about that? I was the one in the wrong. You know, I created all of that. But it began with me not being centered on the inside, right? I'd been awoken. I didn't get to rest the way I wanted to. You see, what had gone into me when I faced attack is what came out of me when I was challenged. We can apply that practically. But you know what else happened? I've got to brag on the preacher a little bit too. A little bit later, a couple of hours down the road, I was driving through Fulton. I called my lovely wife, Monya, or she called me. And I said, "You know, I think I'm going to stop and see your grandmother for a few minutes while I'm going through Fulton." I did. Went in and visited with that dear saint of the faith. Had prayer with her. Let her pray with me. And when I left that place, I had the right stuff inside of me. I promise you, this is the truth. Pull out of her nursing facility, and just as I'm getting out on the road, can I say redneck in worship? Is that okay? Some redneck with this big four-wheel drive pulled right out in front of me, and I pretty much had to slam on my brakes. And you know what my reaction was? I just smiled and went along. You know why? The change was in what was in me before the attack occurred. I had centered myself in the love of Christ. I had practiced the faith with the call that Peter said by visiting one of the saints that had gone before me. You see, friends, if we put inside of us the Spirit of Christ, then we are more capable to withstand the attacks of the world around us. Can it be true? It certainly seems to be the case. Maybe that is what Peter is saying to us when he says today, discipline yourself. Be obedient. Be holy, because he knows we're going to face attacks. We're going to face tribulation and trying situations, aren't we, in life? So friends, the challenge for us is not to wait until we're under attack and then say, how am I going to respond? Am I going to be Christian? Or am I going to lose it with those who've offended? You see, we put inside of us that good goo. The good goo of the faith. The good goo of prayer. The good goo of coming to worship as a family and friends. And growing in the love of Jesus Christ. Friends, that's the call that Peter has placed before us today. That's the call that we're called to represent, what we're called to embody as children of God. But you know, maybe this presents for us as we wrestle with this, as good Christian people that believe that we have the gift of being Christian through the work of Jesus Christ. There's nothing we do, right? It's a gift given to us. We don't earn God's salvation. We don't earn the gift of being called children of the Most High God. So the question maybe before us is this, preacher, why do we need to be good if we're saved no matter what we do anyway? Can't we just kind of skate on into heaven? Why does it matter how we treat the other? Jesus Christ died for our sins. He forgives us no matter what we are. Why should we embody what Peter is calling us to today? You know, one other thing that General Collins said the other day, yesterday, at the commencement, he said this. He said to be a general in the United States Army, you have to attend the Army War College. He said, by attending the Army's War College, it doesn't mean that you're going to be a general. But to get to be a general, you have to go through that process. And he said, that was the hardest academic experience I've ever had. Even harder than Northeast, Rhonda. And he said, after that experience, when you graduate from the War College, they put your name on a plaque with every person that has gone before you. And he said, that's quite an honor. My name is there today. And he said, but you know what else they do? If ever any time after your graduation you do anything to dishonor yourself, to dishonor your family, to dishonor your country or your army, then they go to that plaque and they take a hammer and a chisel and they remove that name forever. He said, you can go there today and you can see where names have been removed. And he said to those graduates yesterday, those commencing, he said, now as you leave these hallowed halls this day and go forward in life, as you commence your life anew, he said, I know you understand this with me, that nobody can ever take this away from you. Nobody can ever take your name off this plaque that says you're a graduate of this institution. But he said, I offer you this challenge today. Live in such a way that somebody just might. Somebody just might remove your name. He said, that's the calling. That's the responsibility you owe to your upbringing, your education, your grooming here at this institution. Live with honor of the one who made you what you are today. Could it be that that's the call Peter has laid before us in our faith today? Friends, Peter makes it clear that when we trust in Jesus, only claiming the gift that he's done for us, that our name, in a way far greater than those who attend the War College, our name is written in the book of life forever. No one can ever take it away once we claimed what Christ has done for us. But can we also embrace that challenge to live our life in faith with such passion that just like someone could take it away if we didn't? By doing so, we will bring honor to the one who gave us the gift, who bought for us the gift of life that far exceeded the value of silver and gold, as Peter said, but was bought for us through the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May we honor him and glorify him this day and forever. Amen. Let's respond.